continuing with Miklos. I knew from experience that whereas the clinics in most major cities of the world managed to furnish their institutes of forensic medicine with from 100 to 150 bodies for purposes of research, the Auschwitz KZ was capable of furnishing literally millions. Literally millions. Any person who had entered the gates of KZ was a candidate for death. He whose destiny had directed him into the left-hand column was transformed by the gas chambers into a corpse within an hour after his arrival. Less fortunate was he whom adversity had singled out for the right-hand column. He was still a candidate for death, but with this difference, that for 3 or 4 months, or as long as he could endure, he had to submit to all the horrors the KZ had to offer, till he dropped from utter exhaustion. He bled from 1,000 wounds. His belly was contorted with hunger. His eyes were haggard, and he moaned like one demented. He dragged his body across the fields of snow till he could go no farther. Trained dogs snapped at his wretched, fleshless frame. And when even the lice forsook his desiccated body, then the hour of deliverance, the hour of redeeming death, was close at hand. Who then of our parents, brothers, children, was more fortunate? He who went to the left or he who went to the right? When the convoys arrived, soldiers scouted the ranks lined up before the boxcars, hunting for twins and dwarfs. Mothers, hoping for special treatment for their twin children, readily gave them up to the scouts. Adult twins, knowing that they were of interest from a scientific point of view, voluntarily presented themselves in the hope of better treatment. The same for dwarfs. They were separated from the rest and herded to the right. They were allowed to keep their civilian clothes. Guards accompanied them to specially designed barracks, where they were treated with a certain regard. Their food was good. Their bunks were comfortable, and possibilities for hygiene were provided. They were housed in barracks 14 of Camp F. From there, they were taken by their guards to the experimentation barracks of the Gypsy Camp and exposed to every medical examination that can be performed on human beings. Blood tests, lumbar punctures, exchanges of blood between twin brothers, as well as numerous other examinations, all fatiguing and depressing. Dina, the painter from Prague, made the comparative studies of the structure of the twin skulls, ears, noses, mouths, hands, and feet. Each drawing was classified in a file set up for that express purpose, complete with all individual characteristics. Into this file would also go the final results of this research. The procedure was the same for the dwarfs. The experiments in medical language called in vivo, i.e., experiments performed on live human beings, were far from exhausting the research possibilities in the study of twins. Full of lacunae, gaps, they offered no better than partial results. The in vivo experiments were succeeded by the most important phase of twin study, the comparative examination from the viewpoints of anatomy and pathology. Here it was a question of comparing the twins' healthy organs with those functioning abnormally, or of comparing their illnesses. For that study, as for all studies of a pathological nature, corpses were needed. Since it was necessary to perform a dissection of the simultaneous evaluation of anomalies, the twins had to die at the same time. So it was that they met their death in the B section of one of Auschwitz's KZ barracks at the hand of Dr. Mengele. This phenomenon was unique in world medical science history. Twin brothers died together, and it was possible to perform autopsies on both. Where, under normal circumstances, can one find twin brothers who die at the same place and at the same time? For twins, like everyone else, are separated by life's varying circumstances. They live far from each other and almost never die simultaneously. One may die at the age of 10, the other at 50. Under such conditions, comparative dissection is impossible. In the Auschwitz camp, however, there were several hundred sets of twins, and therefore as many possibilities of dissection. That was why, on the arrival platform, Dr. Mengele separated twins and dwarfs from the other prisoners. That was why both special groups were directed to the right-hand column, and thence to the barracks of the spared. That was why they had good food and hygienic living conditions, so that they didn't contaminate each other and die one before the other. They had to die together and in good health.